This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Friday, January 25th, 2013. I'm Caleb Brown. The Federal Reserve turns 100 this year, so how has it performed? Not well, according to Cato Institute Vice President for Academic Affairs, Jim Dorn. He argues the United States should begin preparing for the next crisis with a keen eye toward getting away from fiat money.
The Federal Reserve was created in 1913 by the Federal Reserve Act in December 1913, so this year is the 100th anniversary. They were really searching for what they called an elastic currency. The panic of 1907 was instrumental in bringing about congressional hearings and so forth to discuss a change in the monetary regime. Of course, we were on a gold standard up to the late 1800s and up to World War I. So they wanted to try to avoid these banking panics and provide a more elastic currency. The Federal Reserve Act itself had nothing in it about price stability, nothing in it about full employment, but it had things in it about the elastic currency and about financial stability. So it was really aimed at financial stability. We were still on a convertible currency after the central bank was formed in 1913.
So why was there nothing about price stability in the Federal Reserve Act?
Well, because under the gold standard, prices were relatively stable, the price level over a long period of time. You had inflation and mild deflation, but over, let's say, a 100-year period, the price level was about the same as it was 100 years earlier. So you had a reversion effect because gold would flow into and out of countries depending upon balance of payment situations and so forth, and the price levels would follow appropriately. So people knew that if you had inflation, it wasn't going to last forever. Likewise with deflation, that prices would revert to, long-run mean behavior. So there was no need, since you had that automatic adjustment system under the gold standard, to say that the function of the central bank was to create price stability. It was taken as a given.
And so in the creation of the Federal Reserve, this was not a concern. The issue of prices was really just not in the front of the minds of Congress.
No, it was more about banking regulation and financial stability rather than price stability.
So how has the Fed performed with regard to those functions?
Well, if you look up until 1971, when the gold window was closed in 1971, and today we're on what we call a pure fiat money standard. There's nothing backing the dollar except the government's promise to redeem a U.S. dollar in terms of another paper dollar. It's not backed by gold or any other commodity. And if you look at the behavior of the price level since 1971, it's upward, steadily upward. Whereas before that, as I said, it was a reversion effect, and you didn't have inflation of 2% a year or something like that. For a long period of time, we had gentle deflation because the rate of economic growth, the real economic growth, was faster than the rate of the growth of the money supply. But Bernanke Fed was worried about deflation in 2007, 2008. And they've intervened substantially through quantitative easing and credit allocation to try to prevent financial destabilization and deflation. But deflation is not really a problem in this age. It's inflation. Even if it's a general inflation of 2% or so a year, it erodes the purchasing power of the dollar.
According to A Monetary History of the United States, Anna Schwartz and Milton Friedman, no major institution in the U.S. has so poor a record of performance over so long a period, yet so high a public reputation. And that's not true anymore, is it?
No, it's not. It's too bad that Milton still wasn't here or Anna still wasn't here. Anna was very critical of the Bernanke Fed, and I think Milton would be too in terms of what Alan Meltzer called unrestrained power. Alan Meltzer at the American Economic Association meetings a couple weeks ago in San Diego said no institution in a free society like the United States should have unrestrained power. There's no monetary rule to constrain the Fed. The Fed does pretty much whatever it wants to. It's intervened substantially. It's expanded its balance sheet three times since about 2007. It's buying up most of the new Treasury debt now. And it's therefore allocating credit, and it's buying mortgage-backed securities plus Treasury debt at about $85 billion a month now. And there's no end date here except if inflation exceeds about 2.5% or if unemployment falls to about 6.5%, then they said they will, exit that strategy. But there's no monetary rule. It's pure discretion. In fact, in 2007, the Fed did not even predict that we're going to have a Great Recession. The Fed staff, some of the top economists there, met over Diet Pepsis and Twinkies figuring out how to forecast the economy. So their macro models weren't working to tell them what to do, so it was sort of seat of the pants. There's a hubris involved here in terms of these macro models and the Fed's idea that it can fine-tune the economy and simply print money to get us back on the real growth path. And that hubris certainly wouldn't have been there in the early days of the Fed.
You say when the next crisis occurs, and you say that it may be sooner rather than later, the United States needs to be ready with an alternative to fiat money.
I think it's a good idea to think in terms of a National Monetary Commission that investigates alternatives to discretionary government fiat money. We don't have to accept any particular rule, but we should certainly investigate what the alternative rules could be and what their behavioral characteristics are. And of course, we have a lot of information on the gold standard and commodity standards and things like that. But the Taylor rule and things that we could look at as alternatives to what we have now. So the first step, as Jim Buchanan pointed out many times, is not to think of some ideal system, but to look at existing alternatives and think in terms of rules versus pure discretion.
Jim Dorn is Vice President for Academic Affairs at the Cato Institute. You can read more of his work at cato.org.